And now it's time for David Taracek with the Media Beat. David joins us every Friday, normally at 7:35. Today it's 7:38. Of course, you can find David on his own website, themediabeat.us, sometimes on the Huffington Post. He's also a PBS television correspondent reporting on ethics and belief. Thanks for joining us, David. Show's over.
Oh, that was brief. That was swift. I'm happy to join you.
Have you had the privilege of using the new...
Not everybody uses Google, Jill.
Not everybody wants to use Google, Marshall.
Well, they don't.
What are you asking me? Do I use Google? Well, me and several billion other people, the answer is yes. And I know I have choices, but I still go back to Google all the time. I think I would qualify for that class of people I think you describe as lazy.
Okay. And because you are the media, just genius in the media capital of the world, which is pretty lame, I might add, but that's just my opinion. What word would you use? What is a good word to use for people? What is a politically correct word to use for people who are, lazy?
I think the politically correct word is, lazy.
Lazy. Okay.
So but then again, I'm no expert on political correctness, I have to say. I'm aware of certain tides and swells of usage and diminution of old usages, too. But I watch these things quite interestedly, but I wouldn't say that I'm an expert on political correctness. And I'm not sure that political correctness is the right description for it anyway. I remember where that phrase started. It started in a very ironic way. Amongst Trotskyites and Marxists of various stripes, in fact, in the 1960s, where it was, political discussions were going on, and saying, well, it was a way of getting back at the simplicity of and crudity, perhaps, of some of their arguments amongst themselves. One side would say, no, you're wrong. And the others say, well, there's no such thing as wrong. There's no right or wrong in this. It's a matter of whether it's politically correct, i.e., did it fit the strict Marxian analysis? It's so weird that it's now being applied to some kind of general liberal euphemisticizing, if I can make up that word.
No, that's really good. And there's another word that's not quite, but in another 12 years... there's going to be real confusion about the definition of allegation.
Yeah, that too. Well, you know, words do change.
That's right.
I've been reading a 1950s novel, and the word gay is used all the time, but not for what we understand it to mean.
Right. And, you know, there's another word that doesn't... That doesn't get used that much, and that's, I mean, only for one thing, and it's alive, as in lively. That's frequently just your choice now is dead or.
Yes, well, but that's limiting.
That's good. Maybe that might be better than lazy. Limiting. All right. So, am I allowed? I don't think so.
I don't really want to go on a crusade against lazy people, but I think you need to be. I think punctiliousness is a virtue. I've had some pangs of conscience, so I want to ask you a question. I say pangs of conscience. They're not overwhelming to me, but I'm a little pangs of uneasiness when I think about when I was on the radio with you last week. Do you think I should pen a Wall Street Journal op-ed saying that... I was over emotional, and I may have said a few things that I shouldn't have said.
Do I think that? Well, I don't think it's necessary for you to do that.
But the nominee for the Supreme Court seems to believe that about his performance in front of the Senate committee. Interesting, Wall Street Journal op-ed is not something a nominee for the Supreme Court normally writes. Or they normally write nothing at all, of course, but... he's been doing a lot of media effort and support as he comes down to the final vote today as we speak at this Friday morning.
Anyway. It will be. I would be really shocked. It's fine gambling going on in here. I would be really shocked if the vote were
This is something. This is something I don't regret about last week, and in fact I have nothing to regret. I ought to add for the lazy listener that I was being highly ironic in saying that I was considering. Making an apology for what I did last week on the show, but the point is that the nominee for the Supreme Court did do that in a very unaccustomed manner. As we speak, one thing I really don't regret saying last week was that it's 98% to 100% certain that he was going to get confirmed anyway, and I feel fairly sure that that's the case. That's going to turn out to be the case today.
And the only thing that I would add to that is that the vote will be at the weekend, if I were a betting woman, which I am.
You are a betting woman. I'm not a betting man, but the decision to push the nomination forward to the full Senate will happen today, and the vote itself will, in all likelihood, happen tomorrow. Yeah.
And like that there. But what here is the. Non-lazy or limited question that goes with it, and this is really a complexity that if people are not interested in rolling their own news, and that's fair, and what I mean by that is if you don't want to do a pulse check truth test to every bloody thing that you are being told, what do you do?
Slump back into your laziness and just take everything that's coming at you, I suppose. But
there's no
choice. Most people want to be reassured that what they're hearing, seeing, is reliable. And I don't know. I think we just keep going too. And I know that for many people this is a shrinking field, but there is a range of what I would call trusted guides in the media landscape, and I God bless them, they're still there, and most of them are still maintaining high standards, and those are the ones we turn to. But there's an awful lot of dross that's coming at you that you can't vouch for, and you need to be proactive about checking them out as you receive them.
Did you see Mr. American Gothic himself, Chuck Grassley?
Mr. American Gothic. Well,
this is not a view. This is not a political view. If anyone has seen the Grant Wood painting. I don't think you can look at Chuck Grassley without thinking of that.
Well, now you've said that, I certainly will not be able to. But Kate McKinnon does a fine rendition of him on Saturday Night Live. It's an extraordinary impersonation, which would fit in with that portrait too, I think.
But whilst saying something yesterday, it was quite interesting where he said, "Listen, I would never say bad." Basically, what he said is, "Hey guys, I've had protesters in my office." I am paraphrasing. "I have had protesters of both sides, for and against, in my office, and people only wanted to interview the ones who were against." And that's something that's an issue, simply because things have become, not just with this, but just in general, you can get one-sided news your side. And that's where, you know, anyone with, you know, a natural sense of balance. Marshall will tell you that I cannot sit in a restaurant looking at a painting or something that's crooked, you know, something on the wall that's crooked.
Just I'm the same. I'm the same. I have to say, I'm not sure that that betokens a great sense of fairness in political discussion. However, but
I agree. I'm just saying it's annoying.
I get what you mean.
I'm just
fair
saying,
and balance is fair and balance.
No, but yes,
that's what we all aim for, I think.
Yes, but what we have at this point, and I will say that I say this every week, but I the same if one is watching anything. Just do notice that the same adverts are on whatever outlet you choose. Just by the way.
Irrespective of political leanings.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Right. Same.
Sure. Well, money is money. Money is money.
Mm-hmm. Which I think helps when you are processing the information or filtering the information that you're being given. Just remember, money's money. And everybody that's giving it to you is paid and needs that money. So, you know, they're going to give you what you want in a lot of cases. But the reason...
Sure, and the process of getting as many eyeballs and eardrums as you possibly can is what lies behind it all in order to get that money, which is money.
Right, which doesn't necessarily have anything to do with how interesting it is. You know, for example... we have a disappeared journalist this week. We have a trade agreement that is going to just contribute to the delinquency of the deficit. There are a bunch of things happened this week, P.S., that were not necessarily covered with a great deal of attention.
Well,
if they were even mentioned.
Yeah, and there was the whole Tesla story with Elon Musk, the loose cannon of a CEO. Lots of very, very important stories this week.
And GM
just got washed away in the tsunami of this main story.
Speaking of which, there was a tsunami.
The Supreme Court nomination is a very big thing in the American Constitution.
It's washed away a lot of things for a couple of reasons. And whether they're good reasons or not, they're reasons. One, it's just about a year, isn't it about first of all, it's the year of the woman, the second of it, but the Women's March. Me Too is a year old.
It's happy anniversary, Me Too.
Yeah. But you add that with the march when Donald Trump was first elected with women, so the Supreme Court, where there was millions of people around the world protested.
Yeah, but that was not a year.
All I'm saying, but it's all tied in together.
Uh-huh.
With a person who obviously is probably judicially very adept and very very up with what he has to do. But it's obvious, and you can't even hide it, what his thoughts are for women, and that is a big, big, big problem now. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I'm saying it's I hate to use the word a tsunami because the tsunami that just happened.
Yeah, but David used tsunami, and by the way, there was a tsunami, a volcano.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
What I'm saying is this is a tsunami of emotion that is going with this that far, far exceeds what happened with Anita Hill, far exceeds it, and has taken over, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I think you're right in what you're hinting, too, that the ramifications when after this nomination is confirmed, as I'm fairly sure it will be, every time the new justice, Kavanaugh, is confronted with a case involving women, there will be enormous pressure for him to recuse himself, and of course he'll resist that. I think the very nature of the man that became clear during the nomination process tells us that he's not going to back down in that situation. I think he's given that given lots of indications that is how it's going to go, and that's going to be with just about every proceeding of the Supreme Court as we move on.
So right or wrong, that's what's created this effect with this particular judicial nomination, and it's going to, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens, because it appears this country is going backwards in the terms of women's rights. It really does. And civil rights, as a matter of fact. And that just appears. I can't say it for sure, but it appears. The groundwork is there for it to happen.
Well, there's certainly a huge fight going on. And maybe it is just what sometimes somewhat flippantly people are saying, because it's old white men in charge, and old white men are, you know, their day has come, and the old white men are not only the ones, not only the American Gothic figure and his committee, but
there's some old white men
all over the map. Old white men are fighting back, and that could make things go backwards for a while.
And what makes it interesting, there's a couple of old white women that are going to probably team with the old white men, which really, which
there's room, and that's in fairness, just for that, you've got to look. There's room for some backlash here, boys and girls.
There is no room for backlash.
Yeah, that's how I'm not talking about him. Every political movement moves.
I'm talking about just generally.
One step forward and several back.
As people perceive it, I'm not talking about literally with him. One of the things that has happened, in my view, over the last years with social media is pretty interesting. And that is, people don't have as much of a sense of process. You know, people who are watching it don't have as much of a sense of process. So they hear something, they react to it, they react to the reaction, they react to the reaction of the reaction of the reaction of the reaction, and then they expect something to happen. And it doesn't. Because the time has been spent reacting to the reaction of the reaction of the reaction of the reaction.
But this is why I like and what Bernie Sanders is doing and is trying to doing and has, is Bernie Sanders posts on social media. But yesterday he was out in front of a crowd of about 1,000 people. He wants people out on the streets. He wants people that if you really want to make a change, you've got to do more than social media. You've got to do more than post. You've got to get out in the street and you've got to demand change. That's the only way it's going to happen.
Once you've demanded it, what?
Then you work for it if it doesn't happen. You work to oust the people. But
how do you work to oust the people?
You vote. You got to register to vote. Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But it's a tough job. It's a long job. But that's what Bernie Sanders.
But what I'm saying is that people, by and large, are all up for the, hey, let me go. Let me go. Let me go on a protest. But they're not as up for, hey.
They'll be up for it after the Supreme Court gets sealed in, believe you me.
They'll be up. We'll see.
Because young people don't know what it's like to live before abortions were legal. Young people don't know what it's like to live back when civil rights were really curtailed. They don't know. They'll find out.
Well, I think we are in for a period of greatly instigated, greatly provoked reaction. I think the anti-progressive forces that could be said to be in the ascendance now will make sure that we will get a lot more people committed to process and active in process to claim back the progressiveness that I think many of them thought was their birthright. I think you're right. A lot of people just don't know how hard won some of these social advances have been. And having them under threat might well be very educative in the political sense.
And it might be.
They'd have everything hinted for the past 8 years before this. Under President Obama, even though he wasn't really a progressive, but still, they had everything handed to them. And they're now a voting age, and they're about to have a lot that was handed to them taken away. We'll have to see if Bernie Sanders is right and get the people not only to rally, but to get out, vote, and run.
Yeah, I don't think there's any disagreement across the board. It's going to be fascinating. But as with all, this is my... What I'm about to say,
and
my
opinion. I think one of the main points, you know, just to ride on what Jill was saying, one of the main points about that is I think you will get genuine political activity at the grassroots now, not just signing online petitions, and frankly, not just showing up in the streets for massively impressive protests that don't get funneled into a well-underpinned political activity of actual engaging with the process.
Yep. So and people are just going to have to take the time to do that and learn how long it, how long it takes to be an overnight success, let's just say.
Right, absolutely. It's always a long fight. Any advance rule is never going to, well, very few advances. Well, I can't think of a single social policy advance, anything that would be called progressive, that has happened overnight.
Even if you go back 120, or with even women getting the right to vote, or go back to unions, or any, you know, the founding of the Labour Party, people watch enough shows and enough TV. They know that these things have happened, but you know it's a 2-minute scene, and then the next thing you know, you've got the right to vote. Yippee!
Fade to black.
Yeah. So we will see how this all shakes down, and I think we're out of time. So once again, thank God you're there. No, thank you very much, David Tereshchuk, the Media Beat.
Thank you.
Of course, you can hear the Media Beat live right here on Robinhood Radio on Friday mornings, rebroadcast at the noontime hour, and also on the weekends and all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand and click on the Media Beat, or just go to our download our smartphone app. And when you download that, all you have to do is go to push on demand and then search for the Media Beat, and you can get it that way as well.